welcome. My name is Gino Barbara, one of the co-founders of Jake and Gino. I am without Jake today. He is at a Boys to Men concert. Really, Boys to Men, Jake, you kill me. But anyway, today's guest is Cale Owen, CEO of Gym Launch, Prestige Labs, and GymOwners.com. Before joining Gym Launch in 2018, Cale built his own gym from 31 members to over 250 in less than 8 months. He provided a unique perspective to Gym Launch as a previous gym owner and professional athlete, and scaled through the ranks until he became CEO in 2022. Without further ado, welcome to the show, Cale, brother. How are we doing?
I'm doing great, Gino. Thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate it. I kind of look like, if you're watching this, by the way, I probably look like I'm in witness protection right now, but I'm not, I promise.
Well, you live in San Augustine. You live literally 6 minutes away from me. We've never run into each other. And, I see your resume. You're crushing it. And people are going to say, well, you guys do multifamily. Why are you going to have somebody who's doing gym launches and prestige labs on? And for everybody, this is truly important. We are buy right, finance right, and manage right. And what Cale is doing in his space is what you should be doing when you're owning real estate, whether it's a single family home or an RV park or multifamily. You have to manage the business. You have to acquire skills and you have to treat it as a business. So when I saw Cale's resume, I'm like, bro, I got to have this guy on. I'm excited. And Jake, you can go Boys to Men. You do whatever you want, brother. You're missing this one. So Cale, give us a background. I mean, how'd you get into business? I mean, I heard your story, you're homeschooled, which is frigging phenomenal. Love homeschooling. You've been bouncing around everywhere.
Yeah, man. So for me, growing up, my dad was in business. He was in finance and he was in banking, finance, different areas of that. And growing up, my parents really drove into us because my dad, having basically worked in the corporate world for so long, he saw the problems in the corporate world. And they instilled in myself and my three sisters this idea of being entrepreneurs and owning your own business and having control over that. And obviously being homeschooled, you know, I'm being fed that every single day, which is amazing. So from a really young age, I wanted to be an entrepreneur or a leader within business. It didn't have to be that I owned my own business or anything like that. It was just more of just being a leader within business. And I remember I started my first business when I was 13 with my sister. We were washing windows and I was just, I literally talk about skill set acquisition. I didn't know anything about washing windows. I found this thing on eBay that was this whole PDF on how to wash windows and start a window washing business at 13. I was like, Mom, can I buy this? She's like, sure, you got your own money, go ahead. So I spent, I don't know, $100 on it and then turned that $100 into like $5,000 over the next 2 months with my sister. And we did that. Should have kept doing it. But I, you know, at that point I wanted to play baseball. So it was more of a summer gig. And I just remember that. And then I always knew I wanted to get into business. Now, I didn't know what business I wanted to get into. I had no idea. And I went to college to play baseball. My big dream from the age of really 10 to 23, the day I got released, was to play professional baseball at the highest level. And I got a cup of coffee in professional baseball, which is incredible, super fun, learned a ton. But when that ended, I knew that I was going to be in business in some form or fashion. After that, I was working for a company that worked in behavioral assessment. So we worked in the corporate world with DISC surveys and behavioral assessments. And what we did is we created e-learning for those. And we taught people how to adapt their behavior based on profiles and other people's profiles. So it helped with sales, management, leadership, all this stuff. So that was kind of my first taste in corporate leadership and sales and things like that. But that wasn't really my thing. That wasn't really what I wanted to do. But I learned a ton from it. From there, my real passion after baseball was fitness, because I was always the smallest player, the smallest guy on the team, always had to work as hard as I possibly could off the field to be able to show up and play well for the team and perform on the field. So I fell in love with strength and conditioning, ended up starting a gym in Tampa in West Chase with a partner of mine. And we had another partner who was a financial backer on this. And so we started that gym, didn't know anything about business. And at the time, I didn't know really where to go to learn about business. I started reaching out and trying to find different masterminds and different groups that would help me be able to grow this business. And this wasn't a typical for the listeners or viewers. This is not a typical like 24/7 facility, like a Gold's Gym or something like that. This was a strength and conditioning facility, group classes. We worked a lot with a ton of athletes, both high school, college, and professional in a bunch of different sports, but also general population as well. After a couple of years, you know, we weren't growing, no surprise, because we didn't market, we didn't do any of the right stuff, and ended up getting approached by two guys here in St. Augustine. They were like, hey, we want to start another gym here in the World Golf Village area. So if you're familiar with St. Augustine, it's like basically two exits up or an exit up. And at the time I was like, I don't want to leave to go be an employee at another gym when I am an owner in this one. So go back and forth for a while. And finally I got majority ownership, brought money to the table, and we started the gym in January of 2015. Well, didn't learn from my lessons. We worked with another mastermind that at the time that really just wasn't great at being able to scale gyms. They had a very unique process that works in a very specific area or niche within gyms. And it didn't work for us, like it doesn't work for a lot of gyms, to be frank. And struggled with the gym for 2 years and almost closed it down in 2017. I ended up taking a job with a company called Business Builders, now out of Palencia, and in April of 2017, just to put food on the table. Like, we were losing $3,000, $4,000 a month in my gym. And, you know, I hadn't learned from the mistakes that I had. I tried a bunch of different things to try to learn how to market, get the word out, create new offers, sell all these things. And we weren't growing. So we had 31 members, 31 or 33. I can't remember exactly which one it was, but it was less than 35 and more than 30. So we're sitting there and I have a conversation with my wife and I'm like, we're going to shut the gym down in 8 weeks. So we got to figure something out. Well, I had heard about this guy, Alex Ramosi, and ended up joined Gym Launch, fast forward. So we make the decision, last ditch effort to build a gym. And by the way, when I made that decision, just for context, I made the decision because it's not like I wanted to be in the gym business. I actually did it because I wanted to grow it into something that I could sell, right? And just for me, there was something of like, if I can do this, I can prove to myself that I can build something and that I can actually be a leader and actually grow something. Because right now I've just been a failure, right? So in this, we do this, we sign up, we make more money in 10 days than we had in the 9 months combined previously. We continue to grow. We use Gym Launch to scale. And we keep scaling. And in 2018, April 2018, or maybe it was March, I see an ad from Gym Launch saying they're hiring salespeople. And I was doing sales for this marketing company and website design company that I was working with. And I just messaged Alex on Facebook, sent him a message. And I was like, hey, you know, I will send me your presentation deck, like your pitch deck. I'll just do it for free. Like, and I was being truly sincere. I was like, I'll do it for free on the side. Like, I'll just sell people because I knew how much it changed my life. And it was an inside sales position, so I wouldn't be working with people that hadn't already joined. And he was like, I need someone full-time. Would you be willing to do that? And, you know, we went back and forth on, you know, what's compensation, all this stuff. And I was like, cool, I'll submit my resume. I had to go through the same hiring process as everybody else. Ended up getting hired and started with them while still owning the gym. And I was a salesperson doing that for, I think, 3 to 4 months. And then I moved into a sales manager role, kept that for roughly 8 months, 9 months, and then moved over to a coaching manager role. So I was building a coaching team there and scaling a team of 30 coaches with a new product that we rolled out in 2019. And then in 2020 became GM of Gym Launch, just Gym Launch by itself. And that was right before COVID happened. So had to learn and adapt through all of those and bring new things to the market and constantly just trying to survive every single day and help our clients who were literally just trying to survive every single day. And then we got acquired in Christmas Eve, December 24th, 2021 by American Pacific Group, a private equity firm out of California, got acquired then. And that's when moved into the role of CEO across our entities, which at that time was really only two. We just had Gym Launch and Prestige Labs, which is our supplement company. And since then, we've created a startup tech company called gymowners.com. And that is what has led us to where we are now.
Once you left your baseball career, it must have been a bittersweet just leaving it. That was your dream. It sounds as if you need to find a new identity, and it looked as if business was that new identity. Walk me through that journey of leaving your dream job and all of a sudden having to find a new identity.
Yeah. So I think I'm a little bit different than others in this. I'm fortunate enough to have been and have been for a long time very self-aware, because when you grow up as someone who has to move, that moved, not had to, but moved every 3 years, is already kind of an outcast as a homeschooler, right? So I was homeschooled my entire life. My first class was freshman year of college. Having to make new friends every 3 years when you move. And the socialization that I received was both in homeschool groups and within sports. So like that, I was socialized fine, but you have to learn quickly and understand where you are. But also there's an aspect of self-awareness where I was always the smallest kid. I knew where I stood. I understood I had to work harder than everybody else. When I got to that point and got released by the Phillies, I knew why. I was self-aware enough to understand from a business standpoint, it makes zero sense to keep me, a 23-year-old kid, when I played next to a 17-year-old who had more genetic ability in his hand than I did in my entire body. So I totally understood that. I had actually come to grips with that going into spring training, knowing I made it through two cuts. On the last day of spring training, I got cut. And I just had come to grips with that. I'm like, I'm going to give it everything I possibly have. And if I get cut, I get cut. I'm 23 years old. I'm not going to keep trying to play. I'm going to give it everything I have. If I keep playing, great. If not, you know what? I'm going to move on and I'm going to go on to the next chapter of my life. Because I had said no and sacrificed a lot of things that the average kid would do in growing up. Like, I didn't have a spring break. I didn't have summers. I didn't do any of those things. I was practicing baseball every day from like age of 10 all the way to 23. And so at this point, I was like, you know what? I've given everything I have and I'm cool with it. This is a decision. I'm going to move on. And now I'm going to take whatever, you know, motivation I have and mindset that I have and the lessons that I've learned and point it in a different direction. I don't know what that direction is. Just happens to be this one. And the job that I got, that I had, is I got released on a Friday. I started full-time on Monday with a company that I'd been working with during the off season. So I had worked part-time with them in the off season. I just walked right in, worked full-time. They were kind enough to, you know, bring me in. And for me, I never struggled with the identity of being a baseball player and not as a believer myself. So I'm a Christian. As a believer, my identity is not in, you know, what I do. It's in who I am and who actually created me. So for me, it's a little bit different. I've never really struggled with that. So I was able to move on very, very quickly from that. And I'm very thankful for that because I know a lot of teammates and a lot of guys that have struggled with this for a really long time. And for me, it wasn't a struggle.
It's interesting you say that. I had been struggling with that a few years ago, and I was sitting around a table with a bunch of my priest friends, and I had asked them that. They asked me, Gino, who do you identify yourself as? Well, I'm a multifamily person. I'm a family person. And they actually turned around and said, actually, you know, you're a child of God. That's who you should identify with. So I've never heard anyone say it that way. And it made me feel really good. I'm like, okay, I don't have to be any of these other things. I'm just perfect the way I was created, and I'm here for my purpose. Now it's time for me to find out exactly what my purpose is. And it's interesting that I'm sitting, you know, alongside you going on this journey. So that is really cool. Thanks for sharing that. You know, my next question would be, you sucked at gyms for years. How'd you turn the light switch on? What did you do differently than all of a sudden go from zero to hero?
Yeah. So I stopped thinking that I knew what was best, because obviously what I was doing was not working. And I sought out people that had a track record of being successful, because I had been paying the ignorance tax year over year over year, and it was costing me hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, by me not just swallowing my pride and ego and going and finding someone who'd already done it, who'd already paid the ignorance tax for me and could just give me the way. And what's interesting is I tried different types of programs up until the point where I joined Gym Launch, and every single one, I always tweaked some stuff. Like, they would give me their advice and all this stuff, and I would kind of be like, yeah, I'll take that, but I'm going to tweak this. I'm going to do this. But then when I joined Gym Launch, it was interesting. I looked at my wife and I spoke, and we were like, we're going to do this exactly how they told us to. Cause like, we're investing at this point, I think it's $12,000 or $16,000. We don't have that money. So we're just going to do it exactly how they told us. We have nothing to lose. The gym's going to shut down anyway. And that's from a belief standpoint, right? From a tactical standpoint and strategic standpoint within the business itself, we went from not advertising and not having a really solid offer that's attractive in the marketplace to immediately having an offer that no one in our area had seen before. And we capitalized on that because we were the first person in our area to start with Gym Launch. So we capitalized on that big time, and we went hard and we signed up a ton of people. And then we really leaned into all the lessons and mentorship from Alex and Layla throughout the process of growing and scaling, because we went from having a part-time coach or two part-time coaches when we started to my wife quitting her job, being a bartender downtown, right, in St. Augustine, and being pregnant with our second child, to within 8 months, we scaled it to a team of, I think we had at the time, I think we had like total of 9 to 10 total staff members, a couple full-time people. And we didn't have to be there by January of the next year. So January of 2018, we didn't have to be there at the gym, and we had scaled it to the members that we needed to and everything else, using what we learned from Gym Launch and applying that with breakneck speed and going all in. And we sacrificed a lot. We said no to a lot of things. We didn't spend a lot of time outside of the business, and every moment that we were awake, we were thinking about how can we grow the business. And this whole time, I also kept the same job. So it forced me to level up with my time and attention, and it forced us as a team to just get better.
You said the word ego. I think ego kills a lot of businesses and a lot of great ideas. You know, the book says those who shall be humbled shall be exalted, like yourself, and those who are exalted shall be humbled. If you're thinking that you can do this all alone, if you're trying to build a multifamily portfolio and you're at 100 units and you think you're going to do it all alone, it's very challenging. And there's another thing I really like to mention. When people say to you or say to myself, hey, I can't join this program. I don't have the time or I don't have the money. It is never about time or about money, because Kale was broke. And when I started in the business, I was practically broke with five kids at the time, living in New York, paying those taxes. Where do I find the money? It's not about the money. It's not about the time. You had that pain point. What made you say, I'm going broke. I need to pull my money out. I need to invest with Alex and Layla. Do you remember that conversation that you had?
Yeah. So I think the key for me was the social proof that Alex had that I looked up. So I spent about 2 to 3 weeks just researching him, trying to figure out, is he a fraud? Is he like not for real? What's going on? And I remember seeing all of his testimonials. And it's funny is at that time, I think there were maybe 30 testimonials. And now we have literally thousands of testimonials. And at the time I was like, this is the most amount of testimonials I've seen from anyone that are talking actual numbers, not just how they feel. They're talking actual numbers with screenshots, bank accounts, the whole thing of what they were able to do in such a short amount of time. And I'd also heard him talk on a call with another coaching company that I was in, ironically. And I was like, this guy knows what he's doing. And we were at that point, my wife and I were, hopped on a call with Layla, and then hopped on a call with Alex. And we had talked, my wife and I talked, and we were like, we have to do this. And we made the decision too. I think the key thing for us, and this has helped our marriage a ton as well, is we made the decision to go all in together. And we were like, if we're going to do this, in the past, I had dabbled on this stuff all by myself, but she'd always wanted to do this. She wanted to work together, as did I. I wanted to work together with her in the business. And we made that decision right then that we're going to do this together. And that is, in my opinion, one of the biggest reasons why we were successful, is because my wife, who has skill sets that I don't have just innately, right, was able to come in, and we were able to really work off of each other extremely well.
I love your vision to help gym owners around the world reach more people, transform more lives, and build the business of their dreams. That already sounds like a business that I want to be part of. You already have what we call your catalyzing statement. You have it all mapped out. You have core values. What are some of the things that people need to do when they start scaling a business? What should they be looking at?
Yeah, I think you need to really focus on, there's different parts of scaling, right? So I think the first step is, if you're struggling, you need cash flow. So the first step is we need to start generating cash flow. And for those that are listening, if you're in real estate, this might look differently on how you go about the business. But the strategy of it is, if I want to long-term be able to create wealth, I'm going to need capital in some form or fashion, right? So in the business, for me, it's, we need to create cash before I solve for anything else. Because if I don't create cash, my business is done. So we solve for that first. Then that's going to create another set of problems that need to be solved. But we need to solve cash first, right? Once that's solved and we have a system that's going to allow me to be able to generate money essentially on demand and cash flow inside of the business, now I can then solve for the next problem, which is, in my opinion, true scale, which would be taking myself out of it, scaling the business to, in the gym business, to more members. It could be more doors, it could be whatever, but truly scaling that. And scaling has multiple different things. It's scaling revenue, scaling teams, scaling profit. Because we never want to sacrifice profit when we look to scale inside of a business. Scaling and managing humans is probably the hardest part, to go from being the doer to the leader. That's the hardest. And then scaling revenue is, in my opinion, the easiest thing to do. But the two hardest are always going to be managing, scaling teams and scaling profit across the board. So that's where the focus, I think the first step is cash flow for most people. Solve for cash flow. And then you can then take the next step, because for everything you solve in a business, this is a beautiful game of business, right? Once you solve for one thing, it's going to create another problem or bottleneck. So then solve that. Then you solve the next one. Then you solve the next one. Then what happens is, once you solve them all, you come back again and it's like, how can we create more cash flow, or whatever that first problem was? And then it just continues on. So it never stops.
Dude, this is music to my ears, because this is multifamily to a T. If we really want to be completely honest with ourselves, solving for capital. Well, do you have the money to put down in a multifamily, or do you have to go out and raise capital from investors, or do you have to learn seller financing? There's seller financing techniques, right? Now, that is awesome in and of itself. You have your own capital as well. I mean, that's the thing. So get that first. And then, like, what I love about it is true scale. Let me repeat this for everybody. I think everyone should write this down because it's amazing to me. Revenue, teams, and profit. That's really what you're trying to do, multifamily. You're trying to generate revenue. You're trying to buy a building that has the potential to add value to it. You're trying to put it what we call on our imaginary conveyor belt. You buy that property. You don't make money in real estate when you buy an asset. You may make a little bit of money. You make money when you sell that asset. And an exit is either a repositioning to refinance it or an actual sell. You're crystallizing the equity. But along the journey, you have to create teams. And you have to have that profit and that long-term mindset. So when you're building a gym, or you're going out and you're building a froyo, or you're buying a multifamily, or you're buying single-family homes, the mindset is the same. You're sourcing capital and you're sourcing deals. And that's exactly the framework. That's why I'm excited, because if you're listening to this and you want to get into a different business and you are passionate about wanting to build a gym, I mean, stop the recording, go to Kale's website and give them a call, because they've got the system. I mean, and Alex's stuff is lights out. I mean, you read his book. If you really follow his book to a T, I mean, I'm sorry, a teenager can make money. I mean, like, if you have limiting beliefs about money, you know, go back and understand your relationship with money, because he's got it all there in the book. I mean, you go on his websites, you go look at his YouTube channel. His stuff is amazing. Do you want to expand anything about that as far as scaling? Because I think it's really important with the teams and multifamily. Multifamily is a team sport. You can't go out, raise money, be the operations, be the asset manager, underwrite the deals. In the beginning, it's, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Kale does this, Kale does that, and Kale's going to get burned out at a certain point. At around 100 units, you're going to say to yourself in multifamily, wow, I can start hiring full-time property managers and full-time maintenance techs. That's the goal. Multifamily is a team sport, and you want to become a multifamily entrepreneur. You want to become a gym entrepreneur. What does that look like? And it seems to me they have the recipe to do that. I mean, I'd love to get any more of your thoughts on that, the comparison between the business models.
Yeah, for sure. So I think we could talk about frameworks and how I think about it, I guess, and how it can move across different types of industries. So the first step is, the way that we think about it is, there's skill sets or things that have to be done inside the business. But the way I look at hiring is through a hiring hierarchy. And that hierarchy is based on the skills that are needed to move the business forward, all based on ROI of time. So if I, as an owner, get the lowest ROI, I'm going to use the gym as an example because I'm in the gym. I'm not in the multifamily business. So in the gym, the lowest ROI of my time is actually being on the floor, coaching sessions or doing personal training. That's the lowest ROI of my time. So the first thing that I should ever do is hire enough people and staff to cover all the sessions. That's the first hire that I should ever make.
Okay, let me jump in. Let me jump in there real quick. I'm sorry to cut you off, but this is so important. The lowest ROI for a real estate investor is swinging a hammer and fixing a damn toilet. Okay. Hire somebody to do that. And it's exciting because I never really had anyone come on here and really prove our point. It's great that you do that. And you may need to start doing that. You may need to, you know, paint the apartment, and it's a $30 an hour work. It's great that you start there, but that's not where you end. So the parallels are very similar, everyone. As Cal's going through it, try to position yourself as the real estate investor and saying, okay, he's doing that in his gym business. All I need to do that is translate into the business I'm doing. So I'm sorry, continue. That's fucking exciting. Love it, bro.
Yeah, for sure. So then the next step is, so once you're off the floor, that's the first thing. You should be completely off the floor inside of the gym. So, okay, not swinging a hammer, not doing any of that stuff. You should be completely off, not doing the manual labor of it. Now, I get gym owners that come back at me and they're like, yeah, but it's my product, right? My service. So I need to be on the floor. And I'm like, well, for every minute you're staying on the floor, that's a minute that you lost in being able to generate new revenue for the business. And guess what you're beholden to? You're beholden to the business, which means that if you are not generating revenue, your business will decline, which means no one around you has a job. And you're all these people that you love within your community of gyms will all leave and go somewhere else and you'll be forgotten. So if you truly want to change more lives and you truly want to do what you say you believe in, which is transform lives and reach more people, then you should be pointing your time and attention in that direction and doing that. So coaches first, get off the floor. The next one is typically for us within gyms is, if you're getting consistent leads, one of the things that's the hardest thing to do inside of any service-based business is lead nurture. Because when someone opts in for an offer, that doesn't mean they're going to show up. So you actually have to nurture these people. So we'd say a lead nurture specialist is the next one. So it could be, think of like sourcing deals or figuring out a way to source those or whatever. But like for us, it's lead nurture specialist. That's the next thing. Cause it's a blue collar. The way I call it is it's literally the ditch digging of acquisition, because everyone's like, I need more leads. And everyone's like, I need to close more deals. I need to get better at sales. But in reality, you're never going to get better at sales if the lead doesn't actually show up. So cool, we can get you a ton of leads, but if they don't show up, good luck making sales. So you'll never make money, which is, and lead nurture, everyone hates to do it. So lead nurture specialist there, or use some sort of system, which we're developing here at Gym Launch to do it for you, so you don't have to worry about it. But the next one is an admin. So an admin would take off all of the backend information and things for you. So customer support, billing questions, changes in billing, all these things. The next one after that is a retention manager. Notice I haven't gotten into sales or marketing yet, because those are the highest leverage positions inside of a business. So the real money making, they're also going to be the most expensive roles, are always going to be sales and marketing, always, which means the owner has to be the best at them, or at least doesn't have to be the best at them, just has to understand that I'm not going to hire for these until I can replace myself and I'm at a point in profitability where I can do that. Then the next step, once you have a retention manager who handles all the retention and helps extend the LTV of the client, this person manages all the clients. The next person after that can be a salesperson. If you have the profitability and you have that, now you have to then teach this person how to do what you've done. Now you've got leads flowing in at this point. You've got people showing up. You've got someone handling all the retention of your current clients. You've got someone working on the back end, and you as the owner can now take a step back and stop doing sales and hand it over to a salesperson. And then the last one would be someone that oversees the entire thing. Right. And that would be like a GM or an ops manager inside the facility. And that's where you reach true freedom inside of a business, inside of a gym. And so that hierarchy has to happen, and it has to happen in stages, because you need to maintain profitability. Because if you get to a point and you're like, well, I'm going to hire this person, then I'll get to profitability. Good luck. You'll never get there. So you really have to do it and make sure that you're always maximizing for profit. That's why I put it in true scale. Like you have to, as you're managing teams, you have to also maximize for profit and solve for profit while you do that. Otherwise, for most businesses, like small, medium-sized businesses, you can't just assume that if I hire this person, they're going to generate enough revenue, because most of the time they're not.
Before we go to the break, I got to break this down into the multifamily journey, because this, I mean, if you're looking to raise capital and do investors, getting off the floor, stop working inside the business. It's important. You're not swinging hammers. You're not going to do, you know, the driveway repairs, lead nurturing. All of a sudden, you've got investors that you need to speak to. You need to create substantive relationships with those investors. And if you're, you know, acquiring deals, you need to talk to brokers. You need to get out there and nurture those relationships, because those leads ain't coming in. The third one, admin. Having an administrative assistant out there helping you with this stuff. If you're creating a brand, you want to get on podcasts, you want to actually have these meetings, that admin is so important. The fourth one, the retention manager, I love that one as well, you know, being able to retain it. And then that salesperson is also important, because once you've built this all out, you want to be able to have somebody to get on the calls for you, to be able to nurture all those leads, to be able to have maybe an acquisitions manager to go out and start looking at multifamily deals and underwriting deals. Because when you're underwriting deals, it takes time. But like Kale said, that's an important component of the business. Unless you have everything else taken care of, you need to be doing that. You need to be negotiating these deals. You need to be going out and talking to these brokers. But once you have all these other systems taken care of, man, that is awesome. And then the overseeing. The sixth one is the last one, who's overseeing all of these functions, right? It's buy right, manage right, and finance right. You have somebody helping you buy these deals. You have somebody with the financing as far as raising the capital, and you have somebody helping you manage these assets. So when you're looking at this from the lens of any business, that is the framework. You want to, like I said, open up a yogurt shop. You want to open up a multifamily and buy one. You want to do single family homes. That is the ticket. Let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsor.
Now, we have had a great run in multifamily, going from 0 units to over 250 million in assets. That's over 2,000 apartment deals that we've been able to purchase through our framework, Buy Right, Manage Right, and Finance Right.
Now, Jake and I, we created the Jake and Gino community back in 2015. We launched our first book, Build Our Profits. And since then, our students have closed over 60,000 units. That's over $4 billion in assets they've been able to close over the last 6 years.
And that's why this community has been so successful. We call it results-based education, and we pour back into the community everything that we've learned on our journey from 0 to 2,000 units, and all our systems and scale that we use on our very own property management and investing companies.
Jake, I love that. It's not just education, it's implementation. So what I want you to do, click on that link down below, apply to work with our team, see how we can help you on your journey in multifamily.
I want to thank you for sharing that because, I mean, truly, it seems so complex at times, but if you don't have what we call a yellow brick road, you're running around with a chicken without a head. And what I love about it, Kale, is you need to do work. I mean, there's work involved in this. I mean, there's no four-hour work week. In the beginning, there's going to be a lot of work. But if you plan the next 2 to 3 years of your life and you put the systems in, then you recoup the benefits and you get to be really good. You're not going to consider, hey, I'm going to take a day off or a week off. You probably will, but there's no such thing as retirement when you get really, really good at what you do. How has your business grown? How has your mindset evolved over the last couple of years? Once you met Alex, they're like, holy crap, it's a totally new world for you.
Yeah, I think it helped a ton just spending time with Alex. So from 2020 when I became GM to even today, I was able to really spend a ton of time with him, very close time with him. And we became, he's one of my best friends and obviously still a mentor to me as well. He still owns a portion of, him and Layla own a portion of our company and our portfolio still. And it's allowed me to have access to what he's learning and what he does. And he's an incredible teacher as well. And he's so willing to share information. Like when he's going through a new deal or something else, he'll talk with me and pass it on. And he'll even sometimes ask for my advice, which I'm like, I don't even know why you're asking me for my advice, but I appreciate it. It's really opened up my understanding of true business, what's truly possible, breaking a lot of beliefs around growth, both personally and within the business. And it's been incredible. I've learned so much. I continue to learn a ton. And it creates, when you surround yourself with people that are ahead of you and you can spend more time with people that are 5-10 steps ahead of you, you realize that your problems are really small and that they actually only focus on the things that truly drive the business forward. And they say viciously, savagely, no to everything that doesn't, because they understand that their attention and their time is finite. And that they can then, if I spent my time solely focused on this one thing for the next 6 months, the return on that is, instead of in baseball where I hit a grand slam, instead I could score an infinite amount of runs, 12 runs, 30 runs with this one hit that I do, right? And just by doing that, I can get outsized returns on my time. And, you know, I think that's a big thing, is really just focusing. I've learned a lot from him, but one of the bigger things is definitely where you put your time and attention is so important, especially as a leader.
Wow. As far as personal development, I mean, you're fortunate. I don't say fortunate because you actually took the steps to go meet Alex and to do the hard work and to meet him and to put in all that work. Where would you recommend anyone listening as far as some of your favorite books, some of your favorite courses that you've taken to continue to grow?
Yeah, I am fortunate. I will say that. I'm very fortunate, very blessed. You know, there are times when in the company, I have to say this, that, you know, there's one time in particular, I thought I was going to get fired because I wasn't doing a great job in the role. And they were very kind and gracious and helped teach me and do this stuff. So I do believe that I'm very fortunate and blessed to be in the role that I am. For books and stuff, I think it, so the way, let me give a framework. And I there's lots of books, right? There's lots of things that you can do. I guess, can I give a framework of how I think about learning?
I would love that because most people don't know how to learn. I mean, for me, Ken Blanchard, No Can Do, is a great way for me to learn. And we're homeschooling the kids. Every child is different. And I think we all need to understand, you know, education is great, but education is really should be a change in behavior. If you're learning something and you're not implementing it, did you really learn it? That's the way I look at it. People may think I'm crazy, but there's so much knowledge out there. We're inundated with knowledge, but if there's no application or implementation of that knowledge, to me, there's no power. So I would love to hear your framework.
Yeah, it's interesting. It goes back to reading Sherlock Holmes back in the day. And there's this quote in Sherlock Holmes where Dr. Watson asked him a question about politics, and Sherlock Holmes has no idea what he's talking about. He has zero idea. And Dr. Watson's fascinated that Sherlock Holmes doesn't understand it. And he's like, why don't you stay up to date with all these things and learn these things? He's like, my mind is like an attic. I only have a certain amount of information that I can actually put in there that I can then bring back and actually call back and use. And I'm not going to fill it with things that don't serve me in what I'm trying to accomplish. And I remember reading that as a young kid and be like, that's a really interesting thing, because as an ego wise, I'd like to know everything. I think we would all like to know everything. But when it comes to reality, we have to pick and choose and be very careful what we choose to learn, because as we learn, there's so many more depths to everything as you get going. I mean, you could spend a lifetime just learning about multifamily and all the ways to structure deals, all the ways to finance, all the ways to be able to get out of a deal, all the ways on the law side, like how to write legal agreements. Like there's so many different things that you can go. You could spend your entire life just focusing on that. So first step is you have to get very clear when you're learning. You have to understand, okay, what skills do I need to learn next? So what skills have I acquired that I feel that I've mastered? And which skills are going to help me in my goal, end goal, whatever business or life goal it is, what skills do I need to acquire that I don't yet have? And you will also learn, as I have learned, and I'm not talking to you, Gino, I'm talking to listeners here. You will learn that there are going to be skills that you don't know yet that you're going to learn as you acquire these skills. So for example, I needed to learn before I joined Gym Launch on the actually joining the team of Gym Launch. I knew that I didn't know how to truly manage people. I needed to get better at managing people and be a part of a bigger organization to see how they were able to do that. So by joining, I got an inside look at that. But at the same time, I also learned how to sell B2B, right? At really high ticket. I mean, I was selling $124,000 deals day one when I walked in, right? And so I got to learn how to do that. So I acquired that skill. Then I acquired the skill of being able to, I realized that I needed to learn how to manage salespeople. So then as I became a sales manager, I spent all of my learning, books, courses, everything for the time I was a sales manager, learning how to be a better sales manager. And so like how to lead people in sales. Then when I moved over to product, and what's funny is me moving to product helped my trajectory and moving forward, is when I moved to product, I realized that I was not very good at being able to influence behavior in the coaches that we had, and also be able to influence behavior in our clients. So then the next study for me was, how do I learn how to coach people and use words to influence behavior? So I spent a lot of time learning the psychology of that and then practicing that. And this is the key to learning. You have to do it, then you like have to learn it, practice it, learn it, practice it, learn it, practice it, and just keep doing it. Applied knowledge is everything. And then when I became GM, I realized I am not thinking big enough. I need to think more strategically. So I spent a lot of time reading books and listening to people, listening to podcasts, listening to interviews of people that think on truly, truly how to think strategically on what is the next step in the business? Where should we go 2, 3, 5 years down the road? How to read the markets, how to read and understand, you know, how will this thing over here affect the gym industry now, right? And it's helped us a ton. Mm-hmm. And I spent a lot of time with Alex, who's exceptional at that, and Layla as well. And then moving forward to that, the next thing was like, I wasn't adept at financial statements as I should be as the role that I'm in. And so at the GM level, I started learning more about that. And then I didn't even know it, but then I learned how to do due diligence and go through an entire purchase process, which I then was able to then take into due diligence and potential purchase with someone else. So then I got to go through that and learn that skill set. And then the skill set of leading teams in multiple companies, like all these things happen. But I think the framework for learning is understand, you have to have self-awareness, understand what skills have I not mastered? What is the next skill that is going to help me move forward in the business? Learn that skill. And this is why I talk about skill set acquisition is so key. Learn that skill and spend time diving into that and truly learning it and then applying it. And then you'll learn, then take the next skill. And so easy way to do this is when I first did it, I bucketed it up into quarterly things. So I'd give myself a sprint. This quarter, I'm going to focus on this. Next quarter, I'd focus on the next thing. This quarter, next thing. So I'd always reassess mentally, internally of like, okay, have I learned this? Do I get it? Great. Now move on.
What I love about it is you're just being intentional with your learning. You're not just saying, hey, what do I need to learn? You're doing quarterly priorities and saying, this quarter, you need to know this. You're not getting overwhelmed, right? Because if we get overwhelmed with learning, we're not going to learn, right? You know, and I think also space repetition, what Ken Blanchard said, go back and don't be afraid to rewatch it or relearn it, because all you want to do is you want to go through it and the ego says, hey, I've got to move on to the next thing. Don't move on to the next thing until you've conquered the thing you're doing right now. And it's okay. We weren't born with these skills. We weren't born with all of this knowledge. We have to learn it. And I think it's important, going back to the highest and most important skills you need to learn are those that are about revenue. You need to generate revenue from your business. So what are those skills that you need to learn? And then chunk it down from there. I love that. Where do you see you guys and yourself in 5 years with the company, with your goals, personal goals?
Great question. So obviously we're purchased by private equity back in 2021. So thinking 2022 is the first year. The goal in private equity is to obviously sell again and be bought up so that they can get a return on their investment. And that's our goal right now, is to build these three companies up, potentially acquire more, but build our portfolio up to a point where we can sell for X amount of millions, preferably hundreds of millions of dollars, that then gives an exceptional return to obviously APG, Alex and Layla, ourselves within the company. And really just for me, I want to do that because it's funny. People are like, oh, that'd be great. And like you sell for X amount, let's say we sell for 300 million. That'd be amazing, right? It's not the money per se, because the money will come and go. For me, it's who do I have to become? Who's the man that I have to become to lead a company worth $300 million? And I want to meet that man. And I want to know what it's like to be that man. So what skills am I going to learn? How am I going to fail? What lessons are going to come up? And where is this life going to take me at that point? And then after that, I don't know. So who knows? I haven't thought that far ahead, to be honest.
Last question. That sounds like a part of that is what fires you up. What also fires you up? What also gets you going?
I love being exceptional at things. It sounds so basic, but like I personally want to be exceptional at everything that I choose to go after. And I really enjoy the game of business, because growing up being someone who was smaller than everybody else, I had to find new ways to win. Both personally on the field and as a team. And I can take that into business where I have my strengths and someone else has their strengths. But at the end of the day, you know, the marketplace will decide who is the best. And I love that. Mm-hmm. I love, because it could fail. It could all come crashing down just like anything else. But you know what? We learn from it. We move on. But for me, it's really becoming exceptional at what I choose to focus on.
I love that, Kayla. What you need to do is you need to check your ego at the door like you've done. You need to raise your standards. You need to keep getting into bigger and better rooms. I'll give you a quick story before we sign off. I met a guy named Julius Thomas, football player, played with the Broncos for years, all pro, and he came to MM5. And when he retired, everyone thought he was crazy. I mean, like, you're retiring at the peak of your career. He's like, I got to get out of this. I don't want to do this anymore. He went back and he's getting his doctorate in, I think, neuroscience. He's working with brain injuries and all that. So he actually had to go back to college, sit in the front and humble himself and say, I'm a beginner now. This is what I want to do. And he's got similar goals to you. Everyone who's super successful in life, they want to become exceptional at something. They need to take a step back and get into a room that they may feel uncomfortable and become a beginner and have that mentality and have that mindset. And I see that quality, that greatness in you, as I see it in Julius and I see it in everyone else who's really a high performer. We're willing to humble ourselves and say, we don't know this. What do we need to get better? What rooms do we need to get into? And we always have that vision. And we always have the goal of not chasing money, but chasing opportunity. And money is ultimately a result. Multifamily is ultimately a result. You know, Kale didn't say, I want to make a ton of money. I want to get exceptional at something. And I'll end it with this. Profit is just a fuel. It's not the destination. And that's exactly where Cole's life is leading. So the next 5 years, he's just getting more fuel. He'll figure out that destination and it keeps moving. So listen, where can the listeners get a hold of you? Because I mean, just to get around a company like yours, understand what you guys are doing. It's just to me, it's an amazing endeavor.
I appreciate that. So you go to gymlaunch.com to learn more about GymLaunch. So if you're a gym owner and you want to learn how to grow and scale your business, you can go to gymlaunch.com. We've got tons of free resources. Check those out first before you ever hop on a call with our team to see if we can help you. I won't plug Prestige Labs as much because it's all through gym owners. It's an affiliate. But if you are a gym owner and you want to offer exceptional supplements for your clients and get paid the highest commission rates in the marketplace, we paid out over $20 million in commissions since 2018 to our affiliates. You can go to prestigelabs.com. You can become an affiliate for free. And then gymowners.com. There's not much there from a website standpoint and all that stuff on social media. We're starting right now, but we're going to be releasing a CRM for the industry. Really, it's actually not for the industry yet. It's just going to be for our internal clients. We're going to be releasing one in Q3 probably of this upcoming year, 2024. But if you want to learn more about myself, you can follow me on any social account or platform at Kale Owen, CaleOwen. And then a couple podcasts. I mean, we got a Gym Launch Secrets podcast. Then we got my wife and I do a podcast for entrepreneurs in marriage together called the Cookies and Coffee Podcast as well.
All right. I got to get you on the Julian Gino show as well. Because it's one of those things where it's family. It's family, faith, and communication and building the relationship with your spouse? Because I often hear people say, I can't work with my spouse. Have you really tried it? Have you learned the framework on how to do it? It's not an easy thing. But anything life, is there anything in life that's truly easy? No, you need to work on it. And for me, knowing that you got a podcast, that's all I need to know. Julia, we're going to get Kayla on the podcast. Brother, thanks a lot for sharing the story today. I had an awesome time. And once again, it's not gyms. It's not multifamily. It's really, Kayla said it best, it's a game. Business is a game. Learn how to play the game. If you're going to play football, you can't use a soccer ball in football. Learn the rules. Learn the frameworks that'll make you successful. And once again, just want to thank you for coming on, brother, and we will see you soon. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Gino.